Live from the Gow Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE, factory approved warehouse outlet.
Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
The Chiefs, I mean, they got where they are on defense. And
well, really, the Texans did too.
They're both in the top 7 in points per game. They're both in top 10 in both passing and rushing yards per game given up. I don't think it's going to be a very high-scoring game.
I think it's going to come down to something very simple, which, and we say this all the time, but I think whoever's plus in the turnovers is going to win the football game. Coach Tom Herman, University of Houston, joins us. And, Coach, I got to say, after yesterday, I really appreciate you coming on and dealing with more radio knuckleheads.
Well, I appreciate you guys having me on. I don't know either of you personally, so I'm going to – I usually save the knucklehead denotation for someone that I know personally.
All right, well, let's have lunch. Let's get to know each other.
Absolutely not.
Oh.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page, find the Blitz, click like. You are good to go. There is also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, at AJ is the real, at Jongi Football, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And very interesting day so far. And Tom Herman, as you heard, joined us and had a lot to say. And I'm looking at cron.com, and there's already a story on there.
Who wrote it?
Joseph Duarte. Says Houston coach Tom Herman said talks with other schools got very intense during the season before his decision to remain with the Cougars. Herman said he and his representative had phone conversations with at least one school, and then he quoted him, said, "At the end of the day, I like winning," Herman told ESPN 97.5 FM on Thursday afternoon.
Not, he didn't mention us by name?
No.
Who is this
Joker? Oh, he's Joseph. Come on, man.
You were just talking about what a great guy he is.
You know Joseph, right?
No, Fred? Yes, I worked with Joseph for years. I was his boss for several years.
Come on, Joseph.
And here's what's worse. At the end of the story, you know what it says? Herman also addressed his combative interview Wednesday on Sports Radio 610, which included sparring with host John P. Lopez and Nick Wright.
So he put their names, but not ours?
Yes.
You got to get in contact with this guy.
Oh, dude, I'm gonna text him here on the break.
Is he on Twitter?
Oh, yeah, he's on Twitter.
What's his thing?
I think it's just at Joseph Duarte. Jira asking, where can I find the podcast for today's interviews? All available at podcastarena.com, which is a terrific site. It has all of our shows, full show podcasts. And if you go there and you're interested in wagering, an introduction to sports betting Blitz style is available for just $12.99. And hopefully tomorrow, Acing Racing 2016 will be available for just $12.99.
It's coming along.
Yeah, it's he's in final edits right now. So if it's not up tomorrow, it will be up Monday.
Joseph_Duarte.
Oh, he's an underscore?
Yeah, he's an underscore guy. I'm going to tweet him.
Yeah, would it have been so hard to say Herman told Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman of ESPN 97.5 on Thursday?
No, that's what you're supposed to do.
I mean, it wasn't just telling ESPN 97.5. I don't want to... Wow. And Darryl Wyatt is the new receivers coach. He did not tell us that. But he said he was looking for a receivers coach. He didn't tell us he hired him. Okay, this is not good because I'm looking at cron.com, and at the very top of the page it says alleged terror threat busted in Houston. Wow. Okay.
You worried it's family?
No, he's an Iraqi refugee.
Oh, okay.
So it's not one of mine. A man identified as an Iraqi refugee has been arrested in Houston.
Sorry, Fred. That was inappropriate.
Who cares? when did I ever start caring about you?
I don't know.
Making inappropriate
comments
about me.
That seemed like that was a cheap thrill for me. I apologize.
Hey, whatever makes you happy. Let's see. He lived in Houston with his family for about 4 years. And then it's specific. Wow, it doesn't give me any details here. Let's grab a phone call. Hey, Lamont's on the line. Let's get Lamont on. What's up, Lamont?
Hey, how's it going, fellas?
Sportsy.
Yeah, the Tom Herman interview, man, a good interview with that dude, man. And the more and more I listen to that interview, the more and more I realize that it's just amazing that those guys couldn't tell where he was coming from. But he was basically trying to say, you got to have details right because the facts are important. And to me, to be honest, it really don't matter if a guy was right or if Lopez is right or wrong, man. I think that's so far removed because I don't think people but know. But I just think that he wanted the details right because he's dealing with all – I think with college, it's a little bit more sensitive. I think that somebody could have got away with that in the pros. But with college, you're dealing with parents. You're dealing with the recruit itself. Then who knows? You may even be dealing with the NCAA if something really was to go crazy. And I do think the details mean a lot. And you do have to have the facts right. And I think at the end of the day, I listened to the interview, not you guys' interview, because I thought that was spot on right there. But I think that him and Lopez probably had some type of understanding. I really don't think he really wanted to talk to the political hack. That's all I've got, and I'm out.
Yeah, it's definitely different with pros than college kids because we'll continue to call this dude the recruit. The recruit could have
we can mention him by name. He couldn't.
Okay.
Yeah. The thing is, you can confirm that. See, now this is why I have friends who do NCAA compliance law. I can tell you exactly what he told me today about how this can work. Before signing a national letter of intent or scholarship, a coach can only comment and confirm recruitment after the NLI, the scholarship, they can say whatever they want. So they can only confirm recruitment, but they can't say anything about the guy, that he's committed or anything like that. Anyway, sorry, go ahead.
What I was saying is, you know, with the recruit situation, for if you're talking about a pro or you're talking about the recruit, you know, he hears Kyle Allen's in town visiting with you and he's like, hey, what the hell? And you know, that kid can change his mind and he could say, you know what, I'm not going to your school. Let's say word gets out that the Texans are talking to some quarterback and they're in talks with him to be the starter next year. And Brian Hoyer's like, hey, what the hell, man? Well, guess what? Brian Hoyer's under a contract. He can't just pack up his bag and leave if he wants to. He can't change his mind. He's on this team next year, whether he likes it or not, unless they cut him. So it's a completely different thing
for sure. Well, you can go trash the GM's office like in draft day.
You could do that. Or you could just start to sleep in a lot and
forget to answer your
yeah.
Okay. Well, who's that, sir? Okay, I just got an email from the Golden Nugget, Lake Charles. Your two free tickets to Engelbert Humperdinck at Golden Nugget.
Okay.
You know what? Thanks for the two free tickets, guys, but I'm going to pass. You know I love you. You know I love going over there, but yeah, Engelbert Humperdinck. Come on, man. I'm not that old.
All right, I tweeted to your guy, Joseph Duarte. He just tagged us in a tweet, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
No, he gave us credit on Twitter. It just wasn't in the story. That's okay. I'm still bitter over David Barron calling us local programming.
Oh, that's the worst. And that's what I feel like this is an extension of. No one ever credits us. Hmm. They always call us ESPN 97.5 or local programming. Just give credit where it's due.
Yeah.
That's all I'm asking.
Oh, apparently, so this is why I love the listeners, because I'm getting a lot of stuff on Twitter. Apparently, the last 10 years, it's standard in all cars as a safety feature to have like a glow light to get out or something, a glow handle, release handle.
How are you supposed to kidnap someone nowadays?
Well, it makes
you gotta use an old ass car.
No, you know what? You need to blindfold them. That way they can't see it.
Or just pour gasoline in their eyes.
Well, that too.
Because they could take a blindfold off.
Not if you have their hands. I mean, this guy got loose, but if you do their hand.
If you were
handcuffed and blindfolded.
If you were handcuffed and blindfolded, wouldn't you just rub your face against the floor of the trunk until the blindfold
came off?
No, because
I would handcuff you to the back of the trunk where you can't get over there. You know, that little hook is? You know that little hook that's in there?
Yeah.
I handcuff your butt over there. You don't get it out. It doesn't happen.
I'm not sure that your logic's going to work out. He could get the blindfold off.
Well, then, the only reason you put them in the trunk is to take them someplace where you can chop them up and then use them as shark bait.
True.
So, I you don't want to chop them up in the trunk because then the blood's in there and stuff. So, what you really want to do is I think you just knock them out. What's wrong with that?
It works.
Just bash them over the head. Not enough to cause a lot of blood, but enough to knock them out. Then you take them out to the Gulf of Mexico and go fishing. And that's that. End of discussion. They don't escape. 713-780-ESPN. See, yeah, we're such responsible people. We're sitting here talking about ways to get away with kidnapping.
How to kidnap people appropriately.
How to kidnap and murder. Yeah. Did you see how much Jim Tom Sula is getting from the 49ers just to disappear?
How much?
What would you think would be a number where you'd go, holy bleep.
What, like what's fair?
No.
A $25 Applebee's gift card.
Well, yeah.
That's what's fair.
What, for the rats?
I don't care what it's for. I don't care what you do with it.
No, but
you can. He could use it to comb his mustache for all I care, but that's what I would give him.
So, well, this is what he's going to make for 1 year with his buyout. Would you care to guess a number? Not what he should get. We get. He should get a warm bucket of spit on the way out.
Nothing.
Poured over his head. A warm bucket of spit poured over his head. But 1 year.
I mean, do they not have to pay his entire contract?
They don't
have
to pay his entire contract, but there is a percentage buyout.
Okay. Well, I know he signed a 4-year deal.
Are they here's for reference point. 49ers paid Jim Harbaugh approximately $20 million for 4 seasons as head coach.
Okay. Tom Sula signed a 4-year, $14 million deal in the offseason. I'm going to say if it's a ridiculous number, they gave him 10 of the $14 million.
They gave him all 14.
It's too damn hot.
For 1 year.
Bro.
$14 million for Jim Tom Sula.
You chose one.
Dude, I could have taken that team and won that many games, and I'll take four. I'll go 5-11 and get a $14 million buyout. God.
This Jed York, what a life this guy's got. I would say this. Here's the story. I would say this. We've got several years of Jimmy T's salary left, and we're going to eat it. Whether he's coaching somewhere else or not, we owe him that. That's not a concern. What a life when $14 million isn't a concern to you.
It's tip money. It's tip money.
Hard times.
Somebody said Chelsea in the Premier League paid their manager 55 million euros to fire him. But that dude had success, though. I mean, they just won last year. This guy was 5-11 in 1 year. All right, can I do a disclaimer? Do not kidnap and kill people. The past segment.
Don't pour gasoline in people's eyes.
No, unless, that was just.
Unless they did it to you first.
I can just see the lawsuit. They were telling us how to do it on air. No, okay. Just kidding around. You don't do those things. Thank you, John. Quick break. It is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Live from the Gau Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number if you want to get in. 713-780-3776. You can also text us at that number. This is another weird story between A&M and your buddy Chip Brown.
Yeah, what's going on with that?
Yeah, the story just disappeared.
Oh, I got the Engelbert Humperdinck thing, too.
Yeah. You going to that?
No.
I think I'm probably passing. Nothing personal, Engelbert, but you're not my style. Sorry. Apparently... Well, now I can't get this thing to call up. But Cron.com is so damn slow. Not only do they not use our names, it's just slow. By the way, somebody texted in and said, I bet if the news reported on you guys giving kidnapping advice, they'd finally use your names.
I bet they would.
It's true. I've never gone and actually searched Cron.com for my name, but I bet it's something that I wrote 15 years ago is the only thing on there. No mention of me. Let's grab a phone call while I'm trying to get this thing to open. Chris, you were on the Blitz. Go, sir.
Hey, sports to you guys.
Sports to you.
Hey, my alarm is going off.
Do what?
My alarm is going off on my phone.
Oh, all right. Go for it, man.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Well, hey, I'm a Houston homer, love the Texans. I'm optimistic about Saturday, but y'all are the professionals, and y'all can see it from the outside. What are your realistic chances of the Texans being able to pull it off Saturday? I'll hang up and listen. Thanks, guys.
I think I said yesterday I'll put them at 42%. 42% chance to win.
I'll go a little higher. I'll say 45. But here's the thing. I think I don't expect them to win, but I expect them to keep it close. And if that happens, it's only going to take one play. I really think it's going to be a close football game. I think the Chiefs are better, but I don't think they're so much better that the Texans have no chance. I mean, I could see a game where the Chiefs do to them what they did the first week. They get a big lead and that's it. But I could also see a game where the Texans keep the score down. It comes down to a field goal. And if you get yourself in that kind of game, you have a chance to win. When it comes down to it, who do I trust more to get that 80-yard drive that's going to get the that's going to win the game in the fourth quarter? I trust the Chiefs more than I trust the Texans to do that. Doesn't mean they don't have a chance. I think they have a shot. But just looking at it as realistically as possible, I think they're going to whoever they were going to play in the playoffs was going to be a better team.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean they can't win. The best team doesn't win all the time, trust me. Especially when I bet on them. The best team does lose, and I think the Texans can beat this team. I think they match up well with them, but I don't expect it to happen.
I think that first of all, can we agree that the Chiefs have a huge advantage on special teams?
Yes, they because the Texans just, I mean, they don't even play special teams, okay. To be honest.
I think the two teams are very, very, I would say almost even defensively, especially the way the Texans are playing now.
Yeah, you look at both those defense statistically and sacks and everything else, yeah, they're almost the same defense, and they're both among the best in the league.
I think offensively I prefer the Chiefs, and mostly just because I trust their quarterback a little bit more.
I think they're both kind of getting it done with, well, they both lost their stud running back, but they're kind of getting it done with other running backs.
I couldn't believe when I saw the Chiefs are sixth in the league in rushing.
Yeah, we were talking about that off air.
And they've been without Jamaal Charles basically all year. That's amazing.
They've pieced it together.
Their offensive line is great, too. Well, or they're great run
they're
blocking.
They're great at run blocking. They're subpar pass blocking. And that is one area where but I think if they can run the ball effectively, then it's not going to matter because the Texans won't be able to get pressure on in the pass game because they're getting run on all over the time. I like the Texans better at receiver. I'll take DeAndre Hopkins over Jeremy Maclin. I like their second and third guys a little bit more, but I mean, we're talking.
And if you count Travis Kelce's their best offensive player.
Well, no, that's what I was getting to, though. Huge edge at tight end for the Chiefs.
Yeah.
Because they have a productive tight end who the Texans will have trouble covering. I think the difference between Alex Smith and Brian Hoyer is probably Alex Smith's more mobile, and he's a little more accurate.
Okay.
You look at their numbers, they're almost exactly the same, except Alex Smith can run and protects the football. So.
Well, that protects the football is a pretty big one.
Yeah, although, Hoyer, same amount of interceptions, now much fewer games.
Right.
But he's also asked to throw the ball more, different kind of offense. So, honestly, I think they're really close. I think in the end, I trust the Chiefs a little bit more. Although, here's one that I consider the wild card. Bill O'Brien versus Andy Reid. I don't know
that's
who I prefer in that because I've never seen Bill O'Brien in a playoff game. We'll find out. I have seen Andy Reid, and I know he's capable of making some kind of bonehead decision that costs his team. He's also capable of winning, too.
Alex Smith had 7 interceptions in 470 attempts this season. Brian Hoyer had 7 in 369. So, I mean, it's not as big a
difference as I would have thought, because he did play in a lot fewer games.
Yeah.
But, he did throw the ball a lot, though, for as much as he was out. But 19 touchdowns versus 20. Very similar yardage, obviously. Smith has more, but he played the whole season. And he's durable, which, by the way, it's one of those things we always talk about with great quarterbacks. You want somebody durable.
Yeah.
I'm not saying he's great, but if you know the same guys out there every week, you're going to be better off.
Well, another advantage that I think Alex Smith has is he's got some playoff experience.
Yeah.
You know,
a couple wins in San Francisco. And a pretty damn good game against the Colts a couple years ago that just didn't go their way.
Yeah, that dude threw 4 touchdowns and lost.
Yeah.
That's a tough break. But, I think it's a matter of if they can protect. And if the Texans front 7 has a day like they did against Jacksonville, you're talking about you're talking about a different story.
Yeah.
But I well, first, well, the Chiefs, while they're not a great pass protection team, they're not the Jags.
Yeah.
But I think the Texans need to worry about their issues on the offensive line, too. I mean, they lost. We were talking. Well, we've talked all season about how bad the offensive line is, and they just lost the one consistently good player.
I wouldn't say it's as bad as you do. When you, especially,
I think it's bad.
Well, I think when you compare it to other lines in the NFL, it's a pretty average offensive line. They've played well at times. They've played poorly at times. They haven't run block very well at all. They've been better in the second half of the season, and they've been inconsistent in pass blocking. But in general, they're a very average offensive line. And you look at them and say garbage, but I mean, I'm going looking line up all these other teams, and you say, you know what? They're probably 15th or 16th. They're very average. Let's grab John. What's up, John?
Hey, guys.
Sports.
I've been around Houston a very long time. I was at opening day with the Astros, Bobby Shantz, Ed Allen. Also remember Charlie Toler turning the corner, and I was on the sidelines, and that sounded like a freight train. So I've been around a long time, and this deal with Tom Herman triggered a memory of mine, which was back when Lopez threw out this article about Drake McLean and the racial overtones as it related to minorities. And it seemed it was like the naming of the soccer stadium and the location of the ballpark, all of that. And then there was a guy named Mark Campos that wrote a commentary on that, defending Drayton, and kind of blew up Lopez's story. And it just, it seems similar. And I'm thinking, Lopez has been around a long time. And you would think that after that incident, that he might have done some fact-checking and those kind of things before he just let something out like that.
Listen, this is what happens. Guys get complacent. They feel like, I haven't messed up anything in a long time. I'll try and run one by these guys again.
I got to be honest with you. I was, with the exception of 2 years in the mid-90s, I was at the Chronicle the entire time John was. I have no recollection whatsoever of the story he's talking about.
Okay.
So I apologize. I'm old and I drink a lot. I remember a lot of stories there. I have no memory of that whatsoever. And so if it happened in 94, I wouldn't have been there. Mike C. says, what's weird is nobody seems to think Houston has a chance, even Houston fans, even him. No, I think they have a chance. It's just, if you ask me who I think is going to win, I'm like everybody else. I think the Chiefs are going to win the football game, but I can see some scenarios where the Texans win. I think it's close, man. I think these teams are really close. The Chiefs, I just think the Chiefs are a little bit better. And home field will make a difference, but I don't know if it's going to make enough of a difference. And again, I want to see how Bill O'Brien does in the playoffs. He comes out and he's Belichicked it, then yeah, they got a real good chance, but I haven't seen that yet. Joshua, although not the best quarterback, how bad do the 49ers hate themselves for letting Smith go?
Oh, well, compared to what they have now?
At the time, it made sense. Kaepernick got him to a Super Bowl. But they chose poorly. And I think if Harbaugh had hung around, I don't think he'd have been that bad. But he wasn't very good last year, and that's why they struggled then. Let's take a quick break. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Live from the Gau Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. I'm reading this column that he was talking about that John wrote, which I remember the column. I don't remember the response, which John found, but I've never heard of Mark Campos, so I don't really know what to say. But I'll have to read it on the break or something. And I'm seeing what looks like a PR thing here in response. So John, do you know anything about Mark Campos?
Me? No.
You just found it, huh?
Yeah. Well, he was talking about Campo on that phone call, the last caller.
Yeah. Well, what I'm seeing is what looks like a PR response to a column. So I don't think there was any of the stuff that I don't remember that being a controversy at all, to be honest with you, as somebody who was actually running the damn department there. So I don't know why John would have learned from it. Anyway. I guess some people's controversy is, you know, what some people think is controversial. I certainly don't. Do you see this? Here's a little horse racing casino story for you. Have you ever left your kids in the car for an
extended? Nope.
Okay.
I've so far avoided that.
Well, I know. Here's one thing I know you wouldn't do. I know you wouldn't leave them in a vehicle for nearly 2 hours. I know you wouldn't leave them in a vehicle in freezing weather for nearly 2 hours so that you could go into the Parks Racetrack Casino and gamble.
Oh.
Jarrett Evan Nelson and Ebony Walker were arrested Saturday after they responded to the casino at the report of three children left inside a Dodge Journey that was not running in freezing weather.
That's not a good look.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, is the dude arrested?
Yeah, they got arrested, both of them.
Oh, good.
Guy and his girlfriend.
That's good.
713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Hmm. Okay. I'm baffled by what people consider. I'm sorry, I'm trying to keep up with what this guy said. And it's just, see, he was talking about two different things. There was a different article that he was trying to talk about. Not, I don't know. I'm confused. Hey, okay, so apparently A&M Chancellor John Sharp has disputed a report by Chip Brown, who, you know, Chip doesn't get things wrong, right? Chip Brown of Horns Digest sent an email to the Houston Chronicle touching on a handful of subjects. I said, Austin-based sports blogger Chip Brown's last attempt to report.
It's so funny that he's now a sports blogger.
He's
remember when he was columnist for the Dallas Morning
News? I remember that, yes.
It was a big noise.
It was a big noise then.
Now he's a blogger. What? Austin area blogger.
Hasn't been a good week for former columnists, has it?
No.
Austin-based sports blogger Chip Brown's last attempt to report on Texas A&M football on December 17th, 2015 was apparently only the first in a series of fairy tales he intends to spin. Brown's speculation about him trying to get Kevin Sumlin fired was indeed a fairy tale. And there is no one more unethical than a reporter who has been embarrassed by being called out for misstating information, who then decides to seek revenge. This new report, which he calls a fairy tale on steroids, seems to be Chip Brown's attempt at revenge. The entire report is patently false. It says discussing the budget for the redevelopment of Kyle Field from $450 million to $485 million. Chip said the cost was actually $520 million. He says this is hogwash. Who cares? Okay, who cares about how much something costs? Really?
Well, $17 million, as we learned today, $17 million is, or $14
million. $14 million for a coach. So $70 million in overruns at Aggie. Yeah. I mean, who cares?
We don't lose any sleep over stuff like that.
Says Brown says the biggest problem facing A&M as it pays off $350 million bonded to the university is that most of the pledges made to help finance a big chunk of the renovation costs were made back when oil was between $80 and $107 a barrel. Oil is now hovering around $35 a barrel. He says, fact, the initial financing plan included $125 million in pledges, not $350. So he's just arguing over how much millions there are. It's not as sexy as I thought it would be.
Gotcha.
I was hoping your boy Chip was, like, way wrong again.
He may very well be.
He might, but it's just, I mean,
I don't care. I'm done even dealing with Chip.
But who cares about Aggie millions?
Yeah, I mean, honestly. That doesn't even, I don't care.
Yeah, I get that there's oil, the oil prices are down, and that probably affects things, but okay. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. And, man. All right, I think we've been fixed on cron.com.
Oh, they are we added?
I'm checking. Talk did, for a second while
did
I
did you get
this.
A text message or something?
I got a message. I'm all checking right. on it now because you know, I'm scrolling towards it.
Let me get. I'm gonna tweet Joseph if that's the case.
Okay, because you gotta.
I got to apologize, or at least acknowledge that he did that. I hate when people put underscores in their Twitter handle, by the way.
Yeah, but you know what?
For those of you...
How many times has anybody actually responded when we said, hey, you should do this?
No, they never do. Also no, of note...
No, we're still not on there.
No. Oh, then I'm not going to...
I'm refreshing, but...
I'm not going to credit him. Also of note, I hate to say this. I feel like a lot of people followed me on Twitter today because of this Tom Herman thing, the UH thing. You guys are all going to be sorely disappointed because most people think I'm a UH hater.
Yeah, you are.
So,
no doubt.
There's going to be a lot of, I feel like there's going to be a lot of cussing and trolling at me in the near future because I picked up like probably 24 UH followers today. I don't know if that's a good thing.
Yeah, I think they're going to be disappointed when they find out, even with me, because as much as I talk about that school, I'm also pretty critical at times, although yeah. It's hard to be critical about anything that's happened with Coach Herman. I mean, guy's done pretty well. I couldn't even find anything to complain about, but yeah, apparently it's on a different page. Let me go check this. I'm trying to figure out what's going on here, which really bad radio.
Seriously. So, awful radio.
Why don't you?
Let's just figure it out during the break.
We have a break coming up?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, you could have talked.
Well, I did talk. I talked about...
Twitter followers?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're still not on there, so I'll have to check with him on what's going on. Anyway. All right. Let's just take a break. Got Hoffman on Hollywood coming up next. Let's see if I can... I'm trying to sort out, like, too many things now, which is what the hell this Lopez article was... that this guy's talking about, which I have no remembrance of.
I think he was saying that he was accusing Drayton McLean of racism.
All right, here's the soccer column happened in 2007. I was gone. That's why.
Okay.
I just got a message. He's updated. It's just the system slow reloading. It has been fixed. So thank you, Joseph. Quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 975. If I
stop. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. For more great sports talk, try Yahoo Sports Radio 1560 AM. Two great sports stations, two presets. Lock them in.
Come out to the Texans Grill and City Center right now for the Texans Pep Rally. Is that still going on, John?
Up until 7.
Okay, so you got 14 minutes to get to the Texans Grill and City Center. They'll be giving away playoff prizes, including...
No rush, though.
No. Well, if you're stuck on what that traffic just said, you might as well just pull off
and
go there.
Yeah, just stop.
Yeah, but they're still giving away tickets against the Chiefs, I guess, for another 13 minutes. They'll also have Toro, Deep Steel Thunder Band, Texans Cheerleaders. This is one event you don't want to miss. So if you don't want to miss it, you get 12 minutes and 54 seconds. Well, HD show with Fred Davis and Henry Thomas coming up next.
They appreciate it. Well, at least Fred appreciated our interview.
Yeah. I didn't see Henry out there, but...
He said that we did a great job, and he appreciates good radio. So thanks.
Good for him.
Yeah.
So
made me feel good.
Check them out at 7 o'clock.
Made me feel good about myself.
Thank you, Joseph Duarte, for updating your story to say Herman told host Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman on ESPN 97.5 The Blitz.
That is right. Thank you.
See? Some of the guys over there get it still, so... All right, do we have a Hoffman on Hollywood?
Of course we do, Fred. Well,
let's do a Hoffman on Hollywood.
Don't ask silly questions like that. First of all, did you see that The Force Awakens has become the highest grossing film in the history of all time now?
Not surprised.
Passing Avatar, James Cameron's Avatar.
I did like it better than Avatar, I'll say that.
Okay, that's fair.
That's about as far as I'll go with it, but yeah.
That's fair. We'll move on from that. I just wanted to give that little nugget. Were you a Tales from the Crypt fan?
I was.
I loved it.
Oh, okay. little known fact. I actually wrote a script for Tales from the Crypt that was purchased, and then they canceled the series.
No.
So I got a kill fee for it, but that was my first foray into fiction writing, but I had a scripter.
Did you release it?
No, I haven't.
For those of you who...
I did a short story that it was based on, but no.
some of you are probably too young to remember Tales from the Crypt, and some of you don't have HBO money. So in the 90s, it was a show on HBO, ran for, I don't know, 7-8 years, something like that. Well, it's coming back.
Really?
And it's going to be on TNT, so I'm guessing it's not going to be as cool as it was.
No.
But guess who's going to be directing it and writing it? M. Night Shyamalan.
Oh, it'll be a disaster.
I have a feeling that's going to be the case.
Oh.
But he did say that he grew up being a big fan of the show. He said, I grew up watching, and to have the chance to push the boundaries of the genre as a whole is an inspiring opportunity that I can't wait to dive into.
Dude, I watched Sixth Sense again the other day, and I'm like, man, what a great movie. This guy, and then everything else he's done since then has been absolute garbage.
What about Unbreakable? Garbage?
Garbage.
Oh, I liked Unbreakable.
Garbage.
I did not. What was the movie where the red ball? You know what I'm talking about? Like where, into the woods or something like that.
I don't know. I gave up on his movies, so.
He made a lot of dumb movies.
The Village. You remember Devil?
The Village.
Oh. The Village. That's the one. That was a terrible movie. Awful.
Did you see there was a group that tried to get a Kickstarter thing to get in to go back to film school?
No.
That's a great idea.
It
anyway,
is a
sorry.
Good idea. You know, when Sylvester Stallone came back to do Creed, I was a little bit hesitant. You know, he's an old man now, but...
And you've seen him in The Expendables, and he's not a pretty man.
Right. He didn't do the boxing in the show, though, which was good. He was like a mentor. You know, I was worried I was going to see him with his shirt off or something. It was going to be a disaster. Well, apparently when he did that, the people who own the Rambo series were like, hey, Sly.
No.
You want to do another Rambo?
No.
Well, Sylvester Stallone has said no to what was supposed to be the last movie in the franchise, Rambo Last Blood. The idea was being floated around that he should reprise his role as Rambo in an upcoming TV series that will feature Rambo and his son on various adventures.
That sounds absolutely hideous.
He says, this is what Stallone said, the heart's willing, but the body says stay home.
Body says stay home.
It's like the fighters that go back for one last round and get clobbered, leave it to someone else. Rambo 4 was so brutal, which Civil War is, I was shocked they even gave me an R rating. I didn't want to compromise. I said, this is probably going to be the last decent film of this genre that I'm going to do as a solo act. When that was accomplished, I never felt the same willingness to do it again. So, it's nice that he admits that Rambo 4 sucked.
Yeah, that was brutal.
Yeah.
So.
The real reason, remember a while ago we talked about Fuller House and how the Olsen twins aren't going to be involved in it?
Yeah.
Well, the reason is, Ashley says, they're like, everybody was upset. They thought that they were like leaving them out on purpose, or right. or they were just being bitchy. But Ashley Olsen said, I've not been in front of a camera since I was 17, and I don't feel comfortable acting. Mary-Kate said, it would have to be me, because Ash doesn't want to do it, but the timing is so bad for us. They've got their fashion line and things like that going on. And Dave Coulier, who everybody wanted to hear from him on the matter, said, they're family members. But I think they have a different perspective. When we get together and we reminisce, they were babies at the time, so they don't share those same memories. I can't really speak for them, but I would understand why they don't have the same sentiments that we all do. Here's the real difference between you and them, Dave Coulier. They're rich, like super mega crazy rich, and you're not super mega crazy rich. Otherwise, you wouldn't be doing Fuller House, I promise.
Why was everybody waiting to hear from him?
No one was.
Oh, okay.
No one was. I was
being sarcastic. Okay.
That was sarcastic.
Yeah, that flew over my head.
Jennifer Lawrence has come out and said that she feels like a virgin all over again.
Really?
Yeah, I guess since she did admit that she had a fling with Liam Hemsworth, who I guess is her co-host in The Hunger Games, but has just had such a hard time finding a comfortable relationship that she apparently feels like a virgin again. She says she no longer needs contraception, and she used to do. She says that she used to go to Planned Parenthood, but now she says she's officially a virgin. She says, I feel a spark very, very rarely, and it's really only about a spark for me, not really anything else. You should see some of the people I find attractive. You'd be shocked, which is good news for us.
Yeah, absolutely. We should have her on the show. John, book that. Let's get that to happen.
She reveals that she once gave comedian and the co-creator of Seinfeld, Larry David, her phone number. She wanted to have sex with Larry David. Oh. Jennifer Lawrence.
We have a chance, man. We have a freaking chance.
But he failed to call. But earlier this year, or last year, she was linked to Coldplay singer and Gwyneth Paltrow's ex-husband, Chris Martin. If she's banging him, we don't have a chance.
No. That one we can't compete with. David, I'll take my chances with Larry
again,
David.
The difference between us and Larry David is a giant pile of money.
But you know what? She's made a bunch of money off that Hunger Games. She doesn't need our money.
That's true.
Oh, man. Is this like a virgin thing? Like the Madonna version that they talk about in Reservoir Dogs, what the song really means? You don't remember that?
It could be.
It's like where she got this really giant thing and it was like...
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe that... All right. You know what? We better just eject. We better just pull out of this right now. I want to thank Jong Lee. Great job. AJ Hoffman, great job. I want to thank Alex Morano for joining us. And Tom Herman, head coach of the University of Houston. Really appreciate him coming on and putting up with our nonsense today. I hope everybody has a great day. Please come see us at Absolute Fitness and Nutrition in Katy tomorrow, 4 to 7.
They're going to give away a month membership to whoever can complete an obstacle course the fastest. So get out there and do it.
I'm going to go after that. All right. Stay sportsy, bitches.
ESPN 97.5.